You are listening to the 1420 Sports Podcast, four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more, with your hosts, Brent Radlinski from the Yankee Tavern North and Dave Van Robies from the Dutch Oven. Both of us are in Lethbridge, Alberta. Let's get into it.
1420 Podcast, show 137, September 16th, 2021. Tonight after work, I stopped in an old stomping ground for the first time in a long, long time. Hell's Basement Brewery here in Medicine Hat picked up a growler of blonde ale. Fantastic. One of my favorites. They brought it back. It was off their tap for quite some time. They brought it back. I don't know why it ever left. So that's what I'm indulging in tonight. What do you got going down tonight?
I'm just doing all regular Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, the King. I'm just sticking with the King tonight.
It's funny because on Tuesday, I was going with Bud Light, never fills you up, never let you down. Then you had your thing. And Thursdays, I get into it a little bit and do something different. So maybe that'll be our thing from here on in. Dave, I didn't tell you on last weekend, me and the producer, I did tell you we went to Firestone Lounge for a bite to eat last Sunday night. I tried sushi for the first time in my life last Thursday. I don't see what all the hubbub's about, man.
So when you say sushi, it was
California like, roll, whatever.
Oh, California roll. Okay. So like with the rice and.
Yeah. And the thing and the stuff.
You know, it's nice and it's clean. And it like, at this point in my life, I would say that I would eat sushi more days than steak if given the option. I love it. Like it makes me feel clean. It's just nice.
I thought that the dipping sauce was better than the actual meal itself. I mean, it was just an appetizer, obviously, but I don't see why there's restaurants dedicated to this crap.
Oh no, I completely 100% agree. Like considering there's 10 burger joints for every one sushi joint. That's the thing with sushi too. Like I'll have a burger anywhere.
Oh yeah.
I will not have sushi anywhere.
The thing is, you know what, you know, if you go to a restaurant for the first time and not if you go to a high-end steak joint or a sushi joint, you shouldn't have the burger. But if the burger is the option on the menu, have the burger. If you want to go back a second time, have the burger first, because that will tell you what the rest of food is like. A bad burger means bad food throughout.
So like what scale of restaurant are we talking about? Like Moxie's, Earl's type thing?
Yeah,
like
let's go there.
Yeah, or Red Robin or Applebee's.
Something like that, yeah. Like, don't have the fish or the this or the fish and chips. Have the burger, because if the burger's screwed up, then everything else is going to be shitty, too.
See, I understand that logic, but I will 100% disagree. Because I make a hell of a burger at the house. I do. I make a really... When I go there...
It's called the Modest Burger.
Yeah. With cheese, with mushrooms, however you want. How would you like your Modest Burger tonight? Yeah. And it's going to be good. When I go to a restaurant, like I just mentioned, I'm there for the deep fryer. Like I want some fries and like fish and chips. I love fish and chips. I don't have a deep fryer.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of the thing. So
yeah.
Fuck the burger.
Dad was a big fish and chips guy. Maybe he was onto your theory as well. The fish and chips, if that screwed up, maybe that's your guys' thinking.
If you
screw up fish and chips because the tartar sauce can make up for what the rest of it's like, right? And so
my light went off. Like you just totally triggered. Like that's it. It's about me.
Yeah.
For sure. Because anyone can have a burger. My son can have chicken nuggets anywhere. And so now it's about my wife. And then like, you know, like this place had their place. They got a good fish and chips. And I'm probably, unless something really bounces off the menu, Davey's having fish and chips.
That's how my dad was too. So yeah, it's funny. Anyways, let's get into a little bit here. Let's get into our couple things hit the airwaves today in the hockey world. We won't go right to Evander Kings. We talked about him ad nauseum the last couple of weeks, but we'll touch on that subject a little bit. But the Jack Eichel drama and the saga and whatever it is, it's ongoing. It ain't going away, and it's not going to go away. Like we talked off air a little bit. At the end of the day, Jack Eichel still needs back surgery or spine or neck or whatever it is. He still can't play anywhere. It's not cleared to play. The Sabres won't give him the trade. There's medical clearance has to happen. He wants to go to this doctor. The Sabres saying this. He's saying that. What a freaking mess this has turned out, Dave. What's your, you can't make a trade for a player who can't play. And if the Sabres want a King's ransom for said player, they can't get it because they can't get medical clearance. It's a mess that ain't going away.
It's just, I don't understand. I think we even said this in previous episodes. The club does hold all the cards. Eichel's going to get paid out this contract regardless of what happens. You know, I don't even know if that is true. Because from what I understand, the team has control over what surgery is permitted and not. And the surgery he wants is like, it's never been done on a hockey player or an athlete of his caliber before. And then so Eichel has everything to lose in this. And how do you ask so much money? Oh, sorry, but how do you ask for so many assets from other teams that want this player that isn't ready to play? And we're 90% sure he's going to be ready to play in 6 months, but there's a 10% chance he'll never be ready to play.
And that's a huge chance. I mean, all of a sudden, like it's a, I don't know, it's a $10 million contract, $9 million, whatever it is, doesn't much matter. When you get past seven, who cares? I don't get it. You're asking, the Sabres were shitty with him. They can be shitty without him. But if you don't put bums in the seats this year when the buildings open up and everything else and that post-COVID and whatever, and the salary cap's supposed to go up by a couple of bucks next year, if you don't put together some kind of a team, people ain't coming back. And you have an asset, because that's all he is now. He's not playing there ever again. He's not. But you have an asset that's declining closer. The closer you get to training camp and the closer you get to exhibition games and the closer you get to opening night, the less that asset is. And
well, it's not that, because, like, you know, and the valid point is you're not giving up these assets for this year. You're giving up that assets for the next.
No, I'm talking about like Buffalo, the asset Buffalo has. Like the closer you get to opening night, the less and less and less he's worth, because, well, he's not playing for you. He ain't playing for us. So we're whatever.
Yeah, like season ticket holder. The season ticket franchise there must be so frustrated. There's no glimmer at all. Like they have, you know, you think about it this way. That ball bounces the other way, and McDavid is in Buffalo, and Eichel's in Edmonton, right?
Yeah.
Could you imagine McDavid having to go through that Buffalo crap? He wouldn't have signed.
He would have signed that long-term. He would have signed that 10-year deal for 12, 13 million bucks, whatever it was. He would
give me that bridge, and I am walking.
I'm out. I'm not doing it, because at least there was some hope, and it looked like there was an ownership group in. I'm not saying Buffalo doesn't have an ownership group that doesn't want to win, but they're just in quicksand there, and they have been for a number of years. Not that Edmonton's a whole bunch better,
exactly. But
there is a but on the end of the thing. Like they have
two Hart Trophy winners now. Like they're like lucky.
Everything that Buffalo's done over the years hasn't worked. It hasn't for a long time.
Yeah,
and it's.
You know, and Eichel's good enough to sign that 8-year, $10 million a year contract. Like, I can't speak to his talent. I remember seeing a couple of highlights, but I can't speak to his game.
He's a good player. Like, he's a
$10 million a year good. Right?
Well, GMs know more than we do sometimes, but I just have a trouble with a guy who hasn't done much. And now he's hurt. Your assets declining, and Buffalo's not going to get anything for this guy.
Did COVID kill that franchise? I know we talked about it because, like you said, Vid ran through that team earlier on in the shortened schedule bubble, blah, blah, blah. They were young. And, you know, everybody kind of tipped their hat to Buffalo for trying to make shit work, like signing Taylor Hall. And
then they did. They were, like, from what I heard and read last season, it ran rampant early in the season and they just never caught up. Like they never, they were just done. It was a lot worse than most of those kids thought it was going to be. They were done. COVID ran through that team, and now COVID's going to hurt that team for a number of years. And
especially teams that are going to need a month or two to gel. Whereas Tampa Bay, it was the same fucking team.
Yeah.
Right. Even though they couldn't go out and party and have slump busters, like we're all good. Where you just fall in line. This is what we do. And to have a team of veteran professionals, like it's the vid really helped a team like that out. Right.
Like it's Buffalo and the situation that Eichel's in. Cause it now, like, I'm not following hockey a lot right now because of baseball and you got NFL going on, but you still listen a lot to the radio and everything else. The Eichel's stories have really diminished a lot on the hockey scene, and their assets declining in Buffalo.
Yeah. And to just one more point about people like players like them, the one example that I heard them talking about on the radio today was Duchesne not wanting to play for Colorado anymore. And he was holding out. And Joe Sakic said, I don't give a fuck. Like, just hold out then. You don't get paid. And then he ended up coming back and playing really well. And then he got traded, like went to the Senators.
Cause that's the thing, Dave, is that these guys say, I don't want to play here. And then the owners have enough, not the owners, the GMs. Cause they're most of these old GMs are old players now.
Mm-hmm.
And who grew up like, okay, don't play then. We own you. You're going to sit.
Yeah.
And when we're ready to trade you, we'll trade you.
And this is what we want for you.
If we can't get what we need to make our team better, or if our team's not going to be worse for you sitting, then fucking sit.
And then, you know what? I wonder if those conversations ever take place. Like,
guaranteed.
Come to my office. Okay. You want out? I'm going to do it. If you're near as fucking good as you think you are, this is what you got to do. If you perform at this level, you're out of here. You are fucking out of here. Because I'm not getting fucked over for trusting you.
I will find a way, CBA or no CBA, I will find a way to not pay you. I don't care. I will make this happen. If you don't want to play here, that's fine. But first off, I'm going to get an asset for you because we drafted and paid you handsomely. Secondly, this is my team, not yours. So here's what we're doing. Capiche? Done. And I think that happens a lot more than we know, because in general, people aren't happy with their jobs here and there and everywhere else. It's no different than the real world, the hockey world, where they're like, no, man, you're just an employee, dude. It's all you are. You're an employee. Especially if you're a second, like if you're McDavid, if you're McKinnon, if you're like, that's a whole other level. But if you're just Joe Blow second liner, third liner, man, like you better watch your step.
Oh, without a doubt. Because like if you're a second or third liner, you're probably either on the way down on a waning contract or you're playing for your next contract. So you are like, unless you have term, no one says the words, I want out.
Okay.
Because like if you say that with less than 3 years on your contract, you're a fool because you ain't never playing again.
You hate to diminish these guys who work their entire lives and are better hockey players than most in the world, but there's somebody ready to take that spot next year. Dude, just cool it. Cool it. Yeah,
like it's, you know, in the NHL though too, it's a bit of a different animal than, well, the other one that where it's just punishing is the NFL, like Le'Veon Bell with Pittsburgh. He hasn't done fuck all. He set out that whole year.
And they probably 15 million bucks.
Yeah. And now he's nothing. I think he's with the Baltimore Ravens now. That guy was magic with
real good. Yeah.
And now he's inconsequential. He was with the Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year. And we didn't even hear his name. And he was one of the most electric players in the NFL 2 years earlier.
There are 100 running backs coming out of college next year that will play in the NFL.
Yep. That is just the replacement.
There's 100 left tackles that'll come in and play that position. That's just what it is.
And you know, in the elites,
I know you're a big NFL guy, and I like it a lot, but the players are so interchangeable year in, year out. The teams, it's such a big business, but in general, who plays right guard for the New York Giants?
No, but those are the guys that have a chance for a longer career.
No, like I know that.
A running back, yeah.
I know that, but what I'm saying is that there's a lot of guys who are pretty replaceable.
Oh, everyone. Like
everybody's replaceable in every job in the world.
Yeah. Next man up. That's that league's thing. And it's because it's so physical and there's so many players.
You don't see many number. I'm going to pick a name. Number 71 of the Giants. I can't even read his name right now. My eyes are so bad. But number 71 for the Giants. There's a number 71 for the Giants every year.
Yeah.
Could have a different name. Who cares?
Yeah. If you look at, like, I would imagine teams like the Giants would have that chart in the locker room and kind of thing. Everyone who's worn every number, right?
Yeah. 71 is this long. Yeah,
those guards and tackle positions would have a lot.
Not diminishing anything they've done to get to that highest level, but
you bet. But and then on that note, like we're saying, after NHL, NFL is probably the one you don't want to have that hold out to. But on the flip side, the NBA, I think it all comes down to salary. When these guys are making, James Harden is who I'm going to talk to, when he wanted out of Houston after signing there for honestly $45 million a year, like a ridiculous amount of dough.
Yeah.
And now I want out. And then we own you. And he went out there and just fucking hung out.
I don't know if it was somebody talking in jest about Harden or anything else, but apparently he wore a fat suit. Like apparently he under his Under Armour, he had a fat suit and he wasn't putting an effort in that made him look worse than he. He's like, I'm out. Watch this.
If the picture,
because you have that beard on him, balding head, the whole bit. He looked like he was out. I'm out.
Yo, he was for sure out. But this fat
suit, he still had to go to Brooklyn to play. He couldn't be in shape 2 days later.
Yeah, well, maybe that was just when he showed up to camp or something like that. Because you are right about that. But then also he got hurt because maybe he was fat and had to get back in shape because he can't let he can't be the third wheel. It'd be more once he got to Brooklyn. It was about ego again. Because he had to be as good as Kyrie and Kevin Durant, right?
All that NBA is.
Yeah, not at me. I'm surprised I was able to rattle off names like that.
Name four other NBA players. That's not LeBron.
Okay. Zion Williamson.
I think it's just Williams, isn't it?
Is Zion Williams? Well, I don't know. I'm talking about from Duke. The guy Fear the Brow. Oh, and the Greek Freak Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. And
Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam was the Raptors, but the one that I was thinking was Kawhi Leonard.
There we go. There.
I got five.
1420 podcast. We're not your basketball podcast by any means, but we do put in our best effort. Yeah, Dave, the other story that came out today, Evander Kane came out and said, I have a gambling problem. Podcastable speculation, is that him covering his ass or is that him speaking the truth?
I heard bits about that. That was all damage control. His agent had a gun to his head.
I agree.
And whatever. Okay. Bye. And that's it. That's all. Like, I'm not going to judge him. Like, this is what you got to do. I don't believe a word you said. But before all these transgressions came to my knowledge, I still didn't give a shit. I don't give a shit.
No, it was like he's been slimed. We talked about this when he played in Winnipeg and Bufflin threw his clothes in the shower and everything else. If your teammates don't like you, there's something going on, man. It's it ain't good. It's not what you want. Some people say it's not what you want.
It's not what you want, especially in San Jose's eating that for what, 4 more years. This is
at $8 million, whatever it is, and they'll pay off. Whatever. Anyways, 1420 podcast, Four Beer with Sports Talk, and a whole lot more. We're everywhere we get your podcasts. Make sure if you do listen on iTunes and Apple and Spotify, you give us a rating, because then we'll go up on the charts and then people will see us and they can listen to us and blah, blah, blah. I think you guys know how it works, but we appreciate all the support you guys have given us a year and a little bit into this. So thank you very much. And we will, I don't know. I have no idea what I was going to say there. How's your beer, Dave?
I need a new one. So if we're going to take a break,
that one's broken.
Now. Well, it's more empty than broken. It's not leaking.
An empty beer is a broken beer. My New York Yankees had a crushing defeat to the frickin' Baltimore Orioles tonight. 3-2, wild pitch, two out, bottom of 9. Sanchez missed it. Pitcher was shitty. Ball to backstop. Game's over in 10. Dave, I will remember this season not for the blown saves in October or in August and June or whatever it was when they gave up some runs and Chapman shit the bed a few times. This season will basically come down to the 8 losses to the Baltimore Orioles that the Yankees had. And if you win 6 of those, which you should, they're up in the wild card standings and the rest is history. But that's why they play the game. They didn't. And now you're scoreboard watching and going head-to-head schedule. The Jays have a very favorable schedule right now. The Red Sox have a pretty good schedule. The Yankees don't. It's a great time of year to be a baseball fan, but when you're scoreboard watching, it gets pretty tough.
I hear what you're saying, and the fact that you're losing to teams that are 30 games behind you in the standings, it's sure it happens, and that's why we play the games. But there's a reason. There's a reason that they're that much worse than you. Like, find a way to win those games. Like any sport, especially those sports that are divisional and there's some clear bottom feeders in your division that you have to play. Like in hockey, you'll play them 6-7 times a year. In basketball, the conference games, win the games you should win, period. And then also now you only have to win, you have to split a series instead of sweep rival.
Like that's right.
Games all matter. You know, just take care of business.
You're at a point now too, at this point of season, 15, 16 games left, whatever it is. Heard it on the radio. They didn't want to say who the player was or what team it was, but it was Buster Olney was talking about players that need a day. They're tired. They're worn out. They're just not up for it. Dave, could you imagine back in the day, and this wouldn't be a Rick thing, obviously, but could you imagine if Ricky Henderson walked into Tony La Russa's office and said, "Hey, Skip, Ricky needs a day." What would Tony La Russa have done?
What are you talking about, Ricky? We're a game behind and you want to let the team down? No, I wouldn't. That's not how I approach it, because Ricky's all about Ricky. Ricky, you get 8 more bases, 8 more stolen bases, then you're going to be the all-time.
You pass Lou Brock. You pass this guy. You have the most stolen bases this week in baseball history, whatever.
You talk as a manager. If you're in the pennant race, you talk him out of it. Like, don't – and I realize today's player is a different thing. Like, just, like, feed his ego, whatever. Go to the team captain and, like, can you believe this fucking shit? Like, what's he saying down there? Like, I would be, how do I, without screaming at that player and making him want to quit on me, I would be like, how the fuck do I talk this kid into understanding that this is why you're playing the game?
Yeah, I you hear it a lot that these guys need personal days. They need a day. They need this. They need that. And it's brought up from, I wouldn't say from a young age, but it might start in the minor leagues. We're just talking baseball here, because at a young age, when you're a kid, like your boy, they want to play every day. They can't get enough games. They play Little League baseball. They want to play 2-3 games a day. The fourth game is a bit much, but they want to play. And then, so at what point do they need these personal days just to improve themselves and do some fucking yoga or whatever the hell? It's odd to me.
It is odd, but you know, I will give them pass. Like in the first 2/3 of the season, the middle third of the season, whatever, not football because that season is too short. But like even hockey, basketball, and baseball, that middle third of the season, I would be whatever. Take a day.
A Tuesday night in Kansas City, whatever.
Whatever. In June. But like you're still with the team and like I prefer like whatever, do your thing. Just be present. Don't show up hungover. I'll treat you like a professional and you do me the same and your teammates the same. And then, but once it comes to that back third, I'm going to ask you to tape it up. I'm going to ask you to rub a little dirt on it. I'm going to ask you to do something that I'm not going to ask you to do in June. Does that make sense?
Like if a player did come in and ask you that, if you are the manager, when contract negotiations come up for said guy, let's say he hit 290 with 24 home runs, 85 RBIs. Contract negotiations, this guy's up for contract and he's restricted. If you're the manager, do you say, this guy walked into our office, into my office on fucking, what are we? On September 16th, we were a game out and he needed a day. He needed a personal day. I couldn't believe my fucking ears. What would you as a manager, what would you tell ownership and a general manager? I don't want this guy on my team.
Well, here, I'm not going to take an ad out in baseball daily, but just like, even a restricted free agent or whatever, like, and then the other GM, someone's going to call someone and says like, hey, why aren't you re-signing this guy? And then depending on your relationship, someone might say like, you know what? He's not a team player. He's all about himself. This is what he did. And you tell that exact story about him not letting the team, not showing up for his team. And you can even like that movie. Did you ever see that movie with Kevin Costner, where he's the GM of the Cleveland Browns, Drafted?
I saw most of it.
I like that movie.
I've seen most of it four times.
Bo Callahan, because they didn't draft Bo Callahan. And one of the things was none of his teammates came to his birthday party.
That says a lot.
That says a ton. And then like, if you're the guy on that baseball team who no one comes to his birthday party.
Character's huge. I mean, you could have the most talent, because the most talented team in the history of any sport. And if you're not a cohesive unit, you're not going to win.
There's so much to be said for camaraderie on the field and in the clubhouse. Cause when you're feeling good and surrounded with something, with a feeling, right? Everybody's rooting for you to succeed. They might hate you, but when you got that stick in your hand, they're rooting for you wholeheartedly to get a hit, to knock it out, get that sack fly. Like they want you to succeed. And when everybody on is in the same unit wants to succeed for each other as well as themselves, it's a magical thing. And it happens. Those the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, that was a fun team. Like even as an outsider watching that, they looked like they cared for each other and they played hard. And the song Glory was a thing. And it was all, and then the fun they had when they went to Stanley Cup, you could tell they were a pretty cohesive team.
The sum was far greater than the parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was, they were a great, great watch. There's no doubt about that. It's just these, you wonder where, if it comes from the agent or the player or the nerds or whoever for these off days that these guys get, you're like, you played a win from Little League on and you get to the point where like, I need a day. Like, can you, Dave, listen, I actually had it happen. I need a day. I had an employee of mine come up to me at, it was like 10, 11 in the morning. He says, "Hey, buddy." I'm like, what? He goes, "I'm just not feeling it, man. Can I go to the hotel and have a nap?" I said, I won't name his name. "You can always leave," I said, "but sometimes you just can't come back." If you're a manager, could you say that to a player to prove a point? Because we said in the last segment, you're not that good. You're not that important. Like, when do you draw a line as a manager?
Well, in the sports world, it's such a completely 100% different animal. And especially, we can't talk football. It's like the other three then.
Yeah. But we just said the last segment.
But you know what? You know, 162 is a ton, and I don't have a problem with it. Like, in the middle third of the season, let's see. And, in hockey, if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. Like,
are you injured or you're hurt?
Right.
If you're injured, you can't play. If you're hurt, you can play.
No, but in the middle third of that season, if you're hurt and just depending where you are in the standings, I can see giving a guy a day, giving him the second half. You know, fucking Cam Neely.
Always injured, right? Like, he can only play so many games, right? And then plane rides would hurt his knees.
That game that Yuri scored 50 goals in 39 games or whatever it was, or 50 and 50, but he did it over 72 games because only 50
games he played. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then so is that fair? What do you do? Like, if you want to keep the players that are most valuable, no fucking Chubb's asking for this. No second line or third liners asking.
You wonder over, like, I should do some research one of these years when we start to, or one of these shows, we start to getting these topics. You wonder how many games Gretzky took off in a season, but he was also chasing records and putting up records that would be up. And that was an ego thing for him. Maybe that, okay, if I play every game I play, if I get 3 points a game, I get 230 points. Right.
So
it's a different thing, but you wonder. He was driven for that a little bit. And you wonder what the mega stars compared to the stars, like how many games Gretzky played to say, or his lineman, Jari Kurri. Like, did Kurri get some personal days?
I don't think so. There's no such thing back in the day. They would have laughed, right? You know, Glenn Seder would have blew cigar smoke in your face.
We'll play somebody else in Gretzky.
He would have given you a quarter to have a rat gnaw that thing off your face. Yeah.
We'll play. Okay, you don't want to play Gretzky tonight. This guy's going to, and he'll never get back on his line.
Yeah, it's over. Like, this isn't we can't imagine the most ridiculous thing in the world. It still wouldn't be Kurri getting your fucking ass out there.
No, you're playing. It's just, it's just odd how over the decades, how things have changed so much. It's just these personal days and maintenance days, I guess. NBA is pretty bad for that.
NBA is the worst, but
they instituted a rule that said you have to dress this many guys from your regular roster on the road or else you're getting fined. They're like, okay, fine, it's whatever.
No other sport demands more of their superstars on their court, right? Like, because they're on, in the playoffs, if the Lakers or whatever team LeBron's on, he's going to play. He's playing. He's 45 playing every minutes. Single, like all through the playoffs, right? Yeah. Like, he just plays. And that's a high level of competition. And I get it. Because, it don't matter, especially for those guys. Just make the playoffs. I don't care if we lose on the road to the Cavaliers now.
And especially where, like, hockey and basketball, you really got to be bad to not make the playoffs. So if you're a fourth seed and you get in, all you got to, whatever. So taking a few off nights here and there, who cares?
I agree. I 100% agree. Like, in the long sports, the long physical sports, and, as much as we poof on NBA players, to play that game at a high level for, I think it's 82 games as well.
Yeah.
And those guys don't get breaks. At least, even McDavid only plays a third of a game.
21 minutes maybe, yeah.
Whereas an NBAer plays 90 to 95% of a game.
Yeah,
post games.
It's just odd. I just find it odd. You wouldn't. I mean, when I was, it's different, obviously different. But you couldn't take me off the field.
But you know, I get, especially when you're 30 years old. Like, fuck, I'm 50.
Yeah, I'm, Jesus.
Yeah,
like, I know. Like, even at work, like, I got to go sit down. I have paperwork to do all of a sudden. You know, one of those deals. So, anyways.
Well, and even when we're hiking or whatever like that, and like, you know, I can hike with the best, but when we stop to talk, I'm looking for a place to sit.
To sit. you know the hiking path, because there's a good rock over there. I'm good on it.
Well, yeah, there's not a lot of paths where I have a sitting spot in my brain, but when you're on the hills and mountains and stuff, there's rocks. There's always a place to sit.
Yeah. Anyways, 1420 podcast. Had another podcast reach out for me to rep the district out of Washington, D.C. this week. They somehow stumbled upon our little show. I'm not sure how they're out of the D.C. rep the district. It's right now, it's more of a Washington football team podcast, but it was nice of them to reach out. I listened to their show. They listened to ours. There's a little bit more refined than ours is, for sure. They're more of a YouTube channel and everything else, but shout out to those guys from Rep the District. Thank you very much for listening and spreading the good word around Maryland and Washington, D.C. So thank you very much, guys. And we will maybe collaborate a little bit later on in the season. Your Washington Redskins are not doing right now. Flag on the field.
Washington football team.
Washington football team, sorry. WFT. Not WTF, but there's a little bit of swearing right now. Missed field goal. They got a flag in the field, but anyways, once again, thank you very much to Rep the District podcast for tuning in, and we'll collaborate soon, maybe. 1420 Sports Podcast, Four Beer with Sports Talk and a whole lot more. Show 137, September 16, 2021. Dave, getting into it a little bit tonight. Good topics so far. One of our favorite things is a would you rather. I got one for you tonight before we get into your segment you worked on, because you had the Home Alone syndrome tonight. Even Joe Pesci couldn't bother you. Dave, would you rather your team be a contender year in, year, like every year you make the playoffs in the NFL, your Denver Broncos every year make it, lose out in either the wild card game or the conference, whatever game.
The San Jose Sharks.
Or you finally win a World Series or a championship after 108 years. Which one would you rather have?
See.
Because the Cubs had some bad teams.
Oh, no, without a doubt.
For a long time.
You know, and you know, like, so specifically speaking of the Cubs, they were lovable. Like they were
lovable Chicago's losers team. Was their nickname.
And even like the White Sox won a World Series. They didn't get a tenth of the love as the Cubs. I would take, like, so every year you can't be a contender like for 108 years and not win.
Right. And your team never actually wins a championship.
Like, so the San Jose Sharks of the last 20 years.
That's a good comparison.
Because they were always good.
Yeah.
Oh, they were good forever.
One but cup final, that, maybe? Yeah.
And you see, like, but 108 years of futility. I don't want to watch. Well, I guess I do want to watch them win. When I'm 108, I would rather watch him when I was 108 than 10. But then you get to take that joy of winning from 10 to 108. But then on the ass end of that, one of the last things you see before you die is the Cubs winning. If I can watch, I would rather watch my team win the World Series when I was 10. And never watching again in my life.
You have that one.
I have that one my entire life. And then I would rather have that than never winning the cup and being in two cup finals twice in 50 years. How's that? I want to see him win it all.
Yeah.
I prefer when I was young.
You'll always have that one, because let's say if you're a Cubs guy and you actually won the World Series in 2016, it was, and you were 10 and you got to watch it with your 80-year-old grandfather, you'll remember that forever. Right. So, and that's one that, and then when you're 80, you can say, because the Cubs aren't winning again for another 70 years, you can say, "Hey, Grant, I remember watching with
Mike. I remember when.
We were on your front lawn, and I was there when, and I did this when." I think you want one. I think you want one, and no matter what age, you want one. Somehow, some way, you want one championship as a fan, than none. Because none's nothing, man.
Memories zero, forever.
Zero times zero is still zero.
You got that right, mister. Like, and you know what? I remember more the Denver Broncos winning that first one against Green Bay than I remember details of the one they won with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember more details of that first one.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Dave, you had some Home Alone there, your Macaulay Culkin and everything else for an hour and a half tonight. The boy was at baseball practice. What do you got?
I got just a hodgepodge of, we're going to go to the silver screen, the movies, if you may. And I had some jottings down. So who'd you rather, who's better? You'll get the hang of it. Mm-hmm. And then, so I want to ask first, who's a better Saturday Night Live alumni?
Norm MacDonald, Canadian. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And Norm MacDonald, love him. Like, look him up. There's this hilarious stuff. If you don't know him, just YouTube Norm MacDonald. That guy is up my fucking alley.
You know, all the guys that were on Weekend Update, he ranks up there. The guys on right now are really good.
Everybody's really good, but his brand is unmistakable. Weekend
Update's the best. It has been since the Dennis Miller days. It's so good.
100%.
Weekend Update's the best. The best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's clever. But anyways. So nonetheless, most of this is old school. Mm-hmm. So who's a better SNL alumni? Chevy Chase or John Belushi?
Chevy Chase.
What movie's better, Animal House or Caddyshack?
Oh, fuck. Animal House is quite funny. I've seen Caddyshack numerous times more because it's available more. But fuck, is Animal House funny.
And a little bit more nudity and partying, and
I'm gonna say Animal House is a more entertaining movie. Yeah,
they're so right up there because those are the first kind of
lampoon
naughty movies. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When we were young, like, so that would have been when we were 14 to 16. Well,
yeah, I was. I probably wasn't. Mother probably didn't know I was watching those at that point. Yeah.
So you took Chevy Chase over Belushi, but you took Animal House over Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm kind of behind that. Sticking in the comedy genre, what movie's better, Bad Santa or Old School?
I've never seen either.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. I'm not. And that's on me, not on you. That's on you.
And we'll just go to the next one.
Right.
The Hangover or Dumb and Dumber?
Oh, man. The Hangover is really funny.
And which one were you more surprised you liked?
I was more surprised I liked Hangover. But Dumb and Dumber was so funny. And just the... And because I got guys that were 25, 30 years younger than me to work for me. And they're reciting those in the lunchroom today or yesterday. They're reciting Dumb and Dumber lines. The way that stands the test of time, man. And that thing spans generations. Dumb and Dumber is funny.
It's so funny, and it's like, and like
you, if you say, as soon as you say you have a chance, somebody says Mary Swanson.
You're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, it's Dumb and Dumber. Oh man, that's the King Daddy topper. That one, that movie is. There ain't many better than that one for comedy.
And better than Hangover, which killed me as well.
Oh, yeah.
And what other movie killed me as well, and I don't think... Did you ever see Wedding Crashers?
Yes.
That movie cracked me the fuck up.
Oh, it's really funny.
I love that. I think that's pretty funny, too. I don't know what... Like, I didn't even have it written down. Yeah. But like, and then also, too, so like here, let's do that one. Wedding Crashers or Something About Mary?
Ooh. Owen Wilson's funny.
I think Vince Vaughn is funnier than Owen Wilson.
Yeah, Wedding Crashers.
I love that movie
too. Wedding Crashers, better movie, yeah.
Have you seen the, how much Tarantino have you watched?
Not tons, but enough to know enough.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take that one off. Boogie Nights or Big Lebowski?
Boogie Nights.
That movie kicked ass.
Boogie Nights is a fantastic flick. That movie is real good. And I don't know what it's got. You got murder, espionage, a little bit of nudity.
There's espionage in Boogie Nights.
I don't even know. I don't know what the word espionage means. I don't know.
It means spying. Yeah.
Well, yeah. When they're spying on that house for the drug deal.
No, that scene's one of the most, like, anytime anyone hears Sister Christian.
I hate that song so much,
but that has such a specific memory now.
Boogie Nights is a really, really fun movie. That guy gets his head blown off in the robbery attempt in the donut store, and he took the money and he got
Pulp Fiction.
No, Boogie Nights, man. He went to the donut store and there was a robbery. The
there, sorry, yeah.
When they all went their separate ways and they came back and everything else.
I watched it when he was ordering his bear claws.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then the guy in the corner had the gun and it's like, oh shit. And he took the money and the donuts. Up.
The
stereo star.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Boogie Nights is a fantastic flick.
Yeah. I would take Big Lebowski is a really good movie, but
espionage is about spying. I have no idea.
That's all it means. That's what espionage means. It's spying. Huh. Like it's
you learned. I learned something in the 1420 podcast.
I didn't know you didn't know that.
Well, I don't know lots.
Okay. Well, now now we're going to go to a couple of specifics here. Actors, Matt Damon or Leonardo DiCaprio?
I like Matt Damon.
So do I.
Yeah, I like Matt Damon a lot.
Old school, Clint Eastwood or Charles Bronson?
Oh, you're talking some heavy smokers. there's a lot of dark shirt between those two.
And big guns.
Oh yeah.
Remember Charles Bronson back in the day? My dad loved that guy. Just
grit fucking grinder, like just mad, just greasy,
scary, yeah,
angry. Like probably had the hairiest forearms in the history of forearms. Just like just he's ready to go away.
With his faux leather jacket and big
colored
shirt.
Know what? I would say that. So Bronson Eastwood, right?
Yes.
Okay. I would not want to meet Charles Bronson in a back alley because that guy, he might just punch in the face or something to do and walk away. You know,
Dirty Harry at the end of the day was all about the big gun and the big line.
Yeah, Bronson
Charles Bronson, Mike.
He's going to kick the shit out of you with his bare hands and rip you in two. I'm taking Bronson.
He might even put a boot fuck in there for
you. And he'll put a cigar out in your chest.
Yeah.
Just to fucking put an exclamation point on it. Bronson kicks ass. Absolutely.
Okay, I got it. Just a couple more now. On a very much lighter note, Zach Galifianakis or Jack Black? Or Zach Galifianakis, the bearded guy from the Or Jack Black?
Jack Black. He makes me laugh. That movie, School of Rock.
School of Rock.
I quite like that one. It's a bit annoying, like his high, low and stuff. No, but I'll go Jack Black.
Oh, okay. Well, they're both super, super funny. And I really like that. Zach Galifianakis has
he's a Swedish thing. Name. It's not Swedish.
No, that's Greek.
I know. I was being
okay. You're funny.
Or funny or whatever.
He has this little thing called Between Two Ferns. He's just really super funny. They're both super funny. I think I don't know which I would take. I don't know my answer to that one. So I'm gonna stay on the sidelines. And then on my very last question of the night. Would you rather be hungry or lost?
Oof. Hungry. Because when you're hungry, you know that there's an end and you can find a way, a means to an end when you're hungry. Like you just get some fucking food. Like you don't know what time that food can come. But when you're lost, there's a certain point of frustration. You're like, I don't know when I'm getting out of this. I might be lost for hours and hours. And because men are stupid, we will drive around for hours and hours and hours still being lost. Whereas I can just pull over and get some food at 7-Eleven, but we will be lost forever. Like we will just be lost. And it's so frustrating. I hate it.
So you're saying hungry is a choice. So because you can remedy hungry sooner than
being lost. Being lost is also a choice. But men choose to be lost, and it's so frustrating because we will drive around to be lost, and I hate it. I won't stop, and you're so mad at yourself, and then anyone's in the car with you or whatever city you're in, walking around, everybody feels the wrath of your anxiousness because you're lost. Being lost, I can't believe you're ranting like so about being lost. I hate being lost. It drives me fucking crazy.
And I don't know
what to do about being lost sometimes because you're just walking around. Why did that? How in the hell did that subway station move? It was right there yesterday, and now it's not there. And now I'm in front of some place I don't know where I'm fucking going. I hate it. I hate being lost.
Would you rather be lost on foot? Put it this way. What's more frustrating? Being lost on foot or being lost behind the wheel?
Behind the wheel.
Because you're making too much time and you're making mistakes.
And you're going nowhere faster.
You just want to move.
Like you're going nowhere faster. Let's say if you're in New York City and you're lost, there's always a pub somewhere near you. Okay, fuck, I was going here and figure I'll get my bearings straight and ask somebody where the fuck I am. But when you're driving around, you're getting lost. You're getting lost deeper and faster. And you don't know what the fuck to do. And there's never the right proper exit. Oh fuck, man.
There's no place to stop and regroup.
And the person beside you in said vehicle who's trying to help you get unlost is the most annoying person on the planet. And you want to rip their head off for telling you where to go. And they're probably right. But it's the worst thing in the world. Someone tell you, I told you to turn. I gotta fucking yeah. And it's the worst. It's the worst. I hate it. I hate it.
I hate being lost as well.
Oh man!
That was 100% my choice as well because
I'm 4 bucks away from being not hungry.
Oh, and I'm also stubborn enough to say like fuck.
We ain't
eating till we get to this. I said we're not eating supper till we check into that hotel.
Oh,
and we're not checked in. Well, we don't know where it is now. Like
no, I don't know where it is. And I'm talking to you, and I'm lost. I'm more lost. I'm talking to you about this.
And no one's eating. No one's eating until we fucking get
there. Oh, it's not the worst, but it's the worst. It's horrific. It's so bad. I never realized how much I hate it until you just brought that up. I can't stand it. I hate
being lost too. Like it is just like really fuck. like, and even like, I get irrationally angry, like when you're looking at your Google Maps or whatever your navigational device is, and then you're not really 100% paying attention. You're just hanging that right instead of the left because the map was the wrong way. And it's like, oh, motherfucker.
But then the exit, you're driving and then the exit, it verges off and you're still going like, well, fuck. Oh.
Little heads up.
Deanne gives me shit because I've been to New York 7-8 times. I've got to go the last couple of years because of COVID, but she gives me shit because I always go to the same places. I know where they are.
Because you don't want to get lost.
I don't want to get lost. You know what? I go to the same places, the same routine, the same subway station, the same this every single time. Where'd you go? There. Again? Yep.
Why'd you go there again? Because I
know where it is.
I know where it is and I like
it. I like it. Done. You try something new. I don't want to. I know where that is. I'm not wasting time. I fucking hate being lost, man.
For fish and chips? These guys have a good burger.
There's a burger over here, man.
Why would I get fish?
I'm walking over here. There's a burger right here. These guys have gyros. Where are we going? Gyros.
Like, is it next door to the gyro? Is it next door to the burger place?
It's right across from Yankee Tavern North or Yankee Tavern. Done.
Sure, we'll go anywhere you want to go as long as it's on this road.
As long as it's in this block right here. I know where this stuff is. Oh, man. Being lost drives me nuts. It's just over here. No, it's not. If it was just over here, we would have been there already.
When you go on a 10-day vacation to some beach resort or whatever town or where you're going, the last 5 days are significantly better than the first. Because
you know where you're going.
Because you know where you're going. You know what? Like, this is what I'm gonna do. Like, and then your day is planned out. I'm not gonna look for a place to do this. I'm going to do this at this place.
Watch this. There's
a big difference.
Yeah. I will sit down and there will be a beer in front of me when I sit down. Watch.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, you know, even when you're on holidays, familiarity apparently has a lot to be said.
There's this spot in West Hollywood called Barney's Beanery just off Santa Monica. We went there on a Friday, made some friends. You know, went Saturday, watched college football, made some more friends. Sunday, the bartender moved people out of our seats. These are these boys' seats. Beer sitting in front of us. Done. It's
only 3 days?
3 days. Done.
And we're done. Regulars after 3 days. Boy.
There you go. Wasn't lost. Beer in front of me. That's where I'm going.
This is what I like. And this is where we're going.
I've been going back ever since.
We'll do this, this, and this. You got a customer for life.
there you go. Simple.
What is it? Like, you should tag them.
Barney's Beanery. It's West Hollywood. Fantastic little spot just down the hill off of Hollywood Boulevard and Santa Monica and Sunset. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome place. Get in here. Okay. Good. Anyways, don't get lost. Listen to the 1420 Sports Podcast. Dave, any close remarks? You're going on a trip this weekend.
I have a boys' weekend coming up this weekend. It's some friends of mine. We get together. All of us are in the 50s. We're older than Deuce. And maybe when you get to 50, you can come one year. But nonetheless,
I'm never going to catch up. You guys will keep getting older. I'm never going to catch up.
I know. Well, the percentage of age difference decreases every year.
That's right.
Right. So, but nonetheless, we're going into British Columbia. Going to bring our vaccine passports. Hopefully they don't care.
Hopefully they let you in, whatever.
Whatever. We're going to make it work. We're good boys. We're old. We're all double vaxxed.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. It's a time of year. There's of this group. There's only two of us that live in Lethbridge and there's five of us going. So.
There you go. That'll be a good time. I'm sure you guys will bullshit and laugh and joke and play games and be sleeping by 10.
Do you know what saying's not going to get said? What's the over-under of this phrase? Do you remember that time? Like 150, 400?
Jeez, you're going to be...
You remember that
time? How many days are you going?
So we're going tomorrow. We're meeting up tomorrow night. And then, so it's all day Saturday, Saturday night, and then we're parting ways on Sunday.
You'll say tomorrow on Friday, you'll say, hey, remember this? Remember that one? You'll say that 37 times tomorrow. And then by noon on Saturday, you'll be deep in the 200s.
Okay, but how's this? So what phrase gets said more on Saturday? Because I'll be running, like I, of this group, there's two of us that have DJ privileges.
This is a good song.
This is a good, yeah.
Remember this one?
Do you know what this song reminds me of?
Remember this song? Remember this one?
Remember this one?
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, I love that shit.
That is, it's going to be a good night. It's a weekend of that shit. Fuck, I love that stuff, man. I don't know when women do their thing. I don't know if they do that, but like, you know what? The guys are so fucking simple because we're not skirt chasing. We're not looking to party.
I love it, man. Like they're like, and since when
it's glory days. It's it's Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, I love that. Sitting, playing tunes. I'm DJ partying with my, oh, I love it. I love that so much. And you don't even, and the thing is, when you have a tune in your head, you don't care what the reaction is from anybody else. And you try, you, I don't know if you try to convince people how good the song is in your own head, but you're like, this song's playing and I don't care what you say. And by minute three of said song, people are like, oh yeah, this is pretty good. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I like it too. Otherwise, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. Right.
I'd do it by myself.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Like, yeah, it's a lot more fun doing it with friends that you have a shared history with. So I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah. No, anyways, I'd hope you have a good weekend, Dave. It's been a lot of fun tonight. Once again, 1420 podcast for Brewer Sports, talking a whole lot more. Take care of each other, but more importantly, take care of yourself in these trying times. Keep your stick on the ice. What else, Dave?
Jim, I hope things are going well. And if they're going well, you're not swinging at high pitches.
There you go. Have a good weekend, folks. We'll talk to you on Saturday.